In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Some of you may or may not have heard of the name Malachi Love Robinson. Back in 2015 in Florida, Malachi Robinson, who at the time was 17 years old and just out of high school, bought a diploma off the internet for $25 and began to practice medicine, passing himself off as a medical doctor. He was actually hired for a clinic in Florida as a doctor before later that same year opening his own medical clinic, complete with nurses, staff, and employees. But he was, of course, an imposter. It wasn't until he started swindling elderly patients that people began to get suspicious. It was a bank teller, actually, that first notified authorities when Dr. Robinson tried to withdraw money from an older woman's account. What tipped her off was the fact that he had worn his lab coat and stethoscope to a bank all the way across town. She wondered, why would he wear that to the bank? He had overplayed his part. Last January, he was sentenced to 3 years in a Florida prison. The funny thing is, some of his patients defended him, saying, well, he at least was a good doctor. Others, however, told of life-threatening medical problems, where 911 had to be called even at his medical clinic. Now, that's one kind of imposter. No credentials, no training, just an outright fraud. There's another kind of imposter. You may remember the name Larry Nassar, the doctor for the Olympic gymnastics team, found guilty of abusing patients, many of them minors. Larry Nassar was a different kind of imposter. He had the credentials. He had the education. He had the licensing. He had the authority. But he used his position to harm instead of to heal. Now, in the epistle that Debbie read for us today that we heard, Paul warns his friend Timothy, who was a young bishop of Ephesus, to watch out for evildoers and imposters who will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evildoers and imposters. Now, of the two categories, evildoers or imposters, which one should we be more concerned about? If you read Paul's letter to Timothy, he is far more concerned with imposters than he is with the evildoers. Evildoers are easy to spot. You know, your robbers, your murderers, your drug lords. Imposters are sneaky. Imposters look the part. Imposters play the role. They might even have credentials. They're harder to recognize. Now, Paul, of course, is not speaking of medical doctors or any other of those professions, but he's speaking of the faith. He's speaking of the church. And those who, as Paul warns, cling to the forms of godliness, but suppress its power. Cling to the forms of godliness and suppress its power. And making it harder to recognize is that in the faith, many imposters really believe that they are the holy ones. They themselves believe it. The Pharisee in the gospel today is the perfect imposter. He believes he's the holy one. He holds the forms of godliness, but he suppressed its power. He followed the outward rules strictly. Now, he was not an extortioner. He was not an adulterer. He was not unjust. He tithed perfectly of everything he got. He fasted strictly. He really believed in himself. Now, one might ask, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with tithing and fasting and not being an adulterer? How does that make the Pharisee an imposter? Jesus himself gives a very similar warning about imposters. You're familiar with the phrase, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, that's Jesus. People who show outward forms but deny the power of real love. But Jesus also goes on to give us the answer. He says, you will know them by their fruits. A good tree doesn't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't possibly give good fruit. That's what Jesus teaches. You can tell the imposter from the genuine by whether or not they show the fruits of the Spirit. And what are those fruits? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And now we all fail occasionally. If you're like me, maybe you fail frequently. Nobody is perfect. But see, the Pharisee had none of these. He had no love, no joy, no peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And don't say that at least he had self-control simply because he avoided adultery and fasted twice a week, because he could not even stop himself from berating his fellow worshiper right there in the temple. And frankly, strictness, anger, judgment are not fruits of the Spirit. You know, there's a story of the election of the Patriarch of Moscow in 1917. A council was assembled, and three names were put forward. There was Bishop Anthony, who was renowned as the most scholarly. He knew his books inside and out. There was Bishop Arseny, who was the strictest. He knew his rules and his canons and the law of the church. And then there was Bishop Tikhon, who was known as the kindness, as the lover of people. The three names were put into a ballot box and set in front of a miraculous icon, and then divine liturgy was celebrated. After services were over, a simple monk went up and drew a name, and out he drew was Tikhon, the one renowned for kindness. Everyone present saw this as divine providence. God did not select the strictest. He did not select the most scholarly, which, by the way, are not fruits of the Spirit. God selected the kindest, which, of course, is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to share two lessons when it comes to imposters in the faith with us. One is to be aware of them. You know, that's why Paul is warning Timothy. Be aware of them. Be aware of those who hold the forms of godliness but deny its power. And you can't judge by appearances. You can't look and see an imposter. We have to look for the fruits of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And while we're being aware of imposters, we still love them. We still are patient with them. You know, just because someone is an imposter today doesn't mean they will be tomorrow. You know, it could just be a bad day or even a bad decade. There is a chance that they will repent, and we certainly wish them well. But I also don't want you getting hurt by them. If an average Joe hurts you, it's not likely to erode your faith. And if an imposter, whether or not he or she has credentials, hurts you in the name of the church, we tend to associate that with the church itself, and unfortunately, maybe even God himself, which is not fair to God, but it still happens. Many of those patients of Malachi Robinson and more so Larry Nassar have trouble trusting medicine in general due to the actions of imposters. Don't let your faith be shaken by a spiritual imposter when they come. But the second thing, and maybe more importantly, is don't be an imposter. When you go out into the world, when you even exit this very room, fair or not, you represent Jesus Christ. You represent his holy church. If you take the name Orthodox Christian and then go out in the world and can't control your anger, or go out in the world and are deceitful or judgmental or selfish, you play the role of imposter even if for just one day. And you not only erode trust in yourself, but perhaps you erode trust in God for your neighbor. And yes, we all fail occasionally, like me daily. But think of it this way. If you take that name of Christian and you bear the fruits of the Spirit, if you bear love, if you can bear joy, if you can bear peace or gentleness or kindness to someone that really, really needs it that moment, then the world, your neighbors, your friends, your extended family will know the beauty and the love and the power of God through you. Amen.
Amen.